Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day. So if you're feeling insecure, and I'm feeling insecure, chances are that we together, we the people, are feeling insecure. If we've learned anything over the last year, it's that we're more connected, more dependent on one another, more impacted by one another than we realized or we cared to admit. You don't live in a vacuum, and neither do I. So in part two of our message series, Insecure, we're going to be talking about, well, what does it mean when we feel insecure together? When we feel insecure about who we are and the kind of people that we are. You know, in this last week, we got to watch the inauguration of the 46th president, and maybe that fact alone made you feel more secure. Or maybe it didn't. You know, a lot of us, I think, in the last weeks, months, years, maybe even longer, have been seeing things or hearing things that make us ask questions like this. Questions like, is this who we really are? Are we really people who fill in the blank? Fill in the blank with whatever it is that you've seen or heard that strikes at your heart. That makes you wonder, is this really who we are together? You know, whether it's violence that we're seeing or public discourse not going the way we think it should or concern over public health or public safety, whatever it is, makes us ask these questions sometimes, is this really who we are together? And we're insecure. The good news is that when we're trying to rebuild that sense of security, that sense of collective identity, we can turn to the scriptures to find some answers. The New Testament is full of stories of people trying to figure out, well, who are we? And who are we now that we have met Jesus? The Apostle Paul writes letters to some of these groups of people. Today we're going to be talking about Paul writing this letter to a group of Christians trying to figure out how to follow Jesus in Colossae. Now they've written to Paul because they have some questions about what does following Jesus mean for their community. There was conflict in the community and they needed some clarity. And so they wrote this letter to Paul and he writes back to them. And when he writes back to them, he uses this imagery of an old life and a new life. The Message translation of the Bible uses the imagery of old clothes and new clothes. Basically, there's this list of very human but very unhelpful things that Paul says you can get away with. Take it off like you're taking off filthy clothes. Take off bad temper and irritability and meanness and profanity and dirty talk. You're done with those things, Paul says. That's your old life. And you know Jesus now, so you know better. And then in place of the old life, Paul writes this to the Colossians. So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you, and regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it. So I hope, I think, we can all agree that whether you follow Jesus or not, whether you think faith has anything to do with your real life or not, I hope you'd rather hang out with this new life group than this old life group. I think we want to be surrounded by people who are compassionate and kind and forgiving and loving. It's not fun to be with people who are always irritable or always inappropriate. So whether you're following Jesus or not, I bet you want to be more drawn to that new life than that old life. I think the invitation that we find in Scripture, I think the answer to one of our problems right now in this insecure place we find ourselves in, I think the answer is to choose every day to put on the clothes that God picked out for us, whether we feel like it or not. I think every day we need to choose to put on compassion and humility and kindness, and we need to put it on out on display so other people can see it too. I think we need to show up every day wearing compassion and empathy and kindness so that other people will believe that's who we are, that's who we all are. But it's going to take all of us every day choosing to put on these things. Because some days it's easier to live in the old life. But it's better to live in this new life, the life that Jesus leads us into. So here's something I've been thinking about lately. What if the answer to that question, is this who we really are? What if the answer to that question is yes, this is exactly who we are? What if we are the people who could be so in pain or so outraged or so traumatized that we would inflict violence? What if we are the people who would sow division in a community out of fear? What if we're the people who would be so prideful we'd fail to admit we got it wrong? What if that's exactly who we are? What if that's exactly who we are, and somehow, some way, by the grace of God, we were shown another way, a whole new life? What if what our country needs, our communities need, is to remember that we have in us the power to do great good and the power to do great harm? In reflecting on the riots that happened at the Capitol, Brené Brown, famous author and researcher and professor of shame and vulnerability, she did an episode on her podcast where she was talking about that week's events and the conversation she was watching happen, where she saw shame being used in really unhelpful ways. I've heard her say it time and time again that shame is not a tool for social justice. Shame doesn't actually help change us. Only empathy can do that. I've heard her say that on interviews, and she was talking about some of these similar things in this podcast. But she went on to talk about dehumanization, that practice that happens when we separate ourselves from other people, when we separate our humanity, our shared humanity, from others. She says dehumanization is the root, the instrument of every act of violence. And she described that when she would teach her social work students about this concept, she would put her arms out in front of her and say that we all have this circle of moral inclusion. And in the circle, it's everybody that we love and everybody that we care about. We would never harm them or hurt them or even hate them. But then over time, usually, she says, by the influence of images and language, we can convince ourselves to push people outside of that circle to a place of moral exclusion. When she was thinking about those riots that happened at the Capitol, but she says, really, we can look at all moments of history to realize that we want to separate ourselves from those moments that horrify us and the people that perpetuated them. But she's reminding us that we all have that ability to push people outside of our circles of moral inclusion and push them to a place of moral exclusion where they don't get treated with the same dignity or respect or humanity. So what if that's exactly who we are? People who are capable of great good and great harm. What if that's exactly why Jesus was sent? Because Jesus always makes the circle bigger. If we believe Jesus is who he says he is, if we believe Jesus saved the world, well, then that means the circle is everybody. That means there's nobody outside the circle, outside God's love, outside God's protection, outside of our humanity, and therefore outside of worthy of human treatment. Nobody gets to be outside the circle when we believe in Jesus. Maybe that's exactly why we need Jesus, because Jesus always makes the circle bigger. So what can we do when we hear things or see things or watch things happening that make us ask those questions about who we are really? I think every day we choose to put on the clothes that God picked out for us. We choose compassion. We choose humility, even when it's not the easier way, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's inconvenient. It's something we have to choose every day and multiple times throughout the day. It doesn't just happen once. I can assure you the Colossians had to keep coming back to this lesson, because sometimes it is easier to live in our old life. I can assure you that the Colossians had to keep coming back to this instruction over and over again. Every day we have to choose to walk away from our old life and live into our new life and our new identity in Christ. It's going to take all of us choosing new life every single day. So I'm recommitting myself to choose my identity in Christ every day, and I invite you to do the same. Let's not be the reason somebody might feel insecure about who we are as people together. Instead, let's be the reason somebody believes in the God that has redeemed us all and holds us all together. Let's be the reason others can feel secure.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.